Let's try this again. Allie, say hello.
Jeffrey.
Not quite that loud because it's picking up on mine.
Hello, Jeffrey.
If you can't tell from that brief clip, we had a lot of issues getting the podcast started, but once it started, everything seemed to go okay. There was the matter of my voice. I was very sick at the time, but we still had a lot of fun recording it. I hope you enjoy listening. Welcome to Come Read With Me. I'm Jeff, and this is my world. This podcast is about getting to know my friends better by reading a book with them and discussing it. Some of these friends read a lot, some read a little, and some, honestly, I'm not sure can read, but we'll find out, that's for sure. If you can't tell, my voice is a little shot. It's my 30th birthday, just got a tattoo, went out really hard on Friday, so that's why I sound like this. Today's guest reader is my best friend from ages and ages ago, Allie. We've known each other for 20-plus years-ish. She lives in Virginia and I live in Massachusetts, but we still commiserate every day over everything. Say hi, Allie.
Hi.
So today we're going to discuss Twilight, and there are a few reasons we are going to discuss Twilight. Allie, would you like to share them?
I wanted to make Jeffrey read this book for a very long time, ever since he had his book blog, and I would go under anonymous comments and suggest that he read Twilight, and he knew it was me.
Every time.
Every time.
Once a month.
So he finally said he was going to read it this year under his 30-30 promise.
My 30 by 30, which is good you brought it up, because that's why I got a tattoo.
Yes.
And you got a matching tattoo.
I did. We got matching tattoos today.
And I think we were in the car on the way back from the tattoo place on the way to Taco Bell, yay Taco Bell, to get some food. And my only comment was, it's kind of ironic that we got Harry Potter tattoos when we're getting ready to discuss Twilight.
Yes.
Let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Now,
and I should mention that we both have paperback.
Yeah, we have the same pre-movie.
Yes, pre-movie copies of Twilight.
So it's got the creepy hands and the apple.
Yes.
I was shocked. I thought she stole my copy and was flipping through it, and she was actually well prepared and brought her own copy.
I did.
So when did you first read Twilight?
This came out, what's the copyright on this?
2006.
I read it in 06.
It was released in hardback in 05, paperback 06.
Yeah, I think I read it in 06.
And why did you read it then? Because I refused.
Because I wanted to read it. And then I read all the other ones after that.
As they were released, or did you, like, wait?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've only read them once.
Okay.
But I've seen the first movie too many times because it's always on TV.
Allie really likes her TV.
And when I reread this, now, so I read this in 2006, so it's almost been 10 years.
Which is shocking.
Yes. And I feel old, but I did turn 30 before you.
That's true. 50 days.
So
I'm the youngin'.
There's a lot of things I didn't remember about the book.
Okay.
That the movie, I think, romanticizes the book more.
I agree. I think it pulls a lot of the danger from him. And just focuses on, like, the, ooh, I'm in love.
Well, the music's really good in the movie, too.
Oh, I don't know. I might have to rewatch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've never read these books. You have recommended them so many times.
And I should say, I read other things that have more literary value.
That's debatable. Okay. I mean,
Fifty
you do
Shades
read
of Grey.
Some. 50 Shades of Grey, and she loves Kinsey Malone. Who's that?
No, Stephanie Plum.
Stephanie Plum. She's a not murder mystery? Yeah, murder
yes.
mystery. I feel like it's a step up from the Ivanovich, though.
That is Ivanovich.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wait, she's the one that What's-Her-Name played?
Yes, Katherine Heigl.
In the one movie?
Yes, in the one movie. The books are a lot better than the movie, though.
Oh, okay. I mean, I like good mystery. But while we're on mystery, have you read the new J.K. Rowling mysteries? Robert
no.
Galbraith? Read them. They're good. I should have brought one for you.
I know.
So backstory, the reason we're actually doing this on my birthday is because Lee and I, my sister, Lee, say hi really loud.
Hello.
She's in the room kind of listening, kind of watching TV. We drove down from Boston to North Carolina for the holidays, and we stayed with Allie for 2 days, mainly so I could do this, but also so we could see her. Back to the books and the movies. So I didn't know it had a good soundtrack. Is it the score, or is it an actual soundtrack?
Both.
Both. Okay, like, who's on it, though?
I've never even looked at it. It's all no-name people.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like Hunger Games, where there's not a whole lot of known...
But Lorde did the most recent one. She curated it.
Well, I know Twilight has a good like hipster kind of songs to it, and they're all Pacific
Northwest people.
Oh, but okay. I think it's an original score.
Oh, okay. Well, I've watched it once, and the only reason I watched it, I didn't pay any money for it. The only reason I watched it is because my good friend was in the UK with me, and she was homesick. I was like, I will do anything you want to do, and she wanted to watch Twilight, and so we got a copy of it, and we watched it. And I don't remember any of it, because as I was reading the book, I was like, this is fascinating, because I don't remember any of this. So, what were your first thoughts? What's the difference between what you thought when you read it the first time and now? Like, do you know, or has it been way too long?
No, I don't remember anything, really, when I first read it, because the movie hadn't come out yet. I think the movie came out 2007.
I feel like it was a little later.
But I did read the book before the movie came out.
The first one came out in 2008.
The movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so I read this before it came out. It was a little too teenager-y for me because I was 22, 23 in 2006. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was a little over, yeah, teenager. But I thought it was it's a quick read.
No, I agree. Quick read. I probably read it in less than 8 hours total. What about now? Now that you're a little jaded, you're even more jaded.
Yes, I am more
we're
jaded.
We're in our 30s. Mm-hmm. Well, did you read it before your birthday or did you read it after? No, you read it after.
No, I read it after my birthday.
So we both read it in our late 20s, early 30s.
Yes. It's a little slower than I remembered.
I agree.
And like I said, I've seen the movie so many times that I remember the movie more and how the movie is. And when you read it, you're like, really? I don't remember it being like this. It seems he's kind of a douchebag. And
I'm
Team Edward.
Team Jacob. I've only read I read this first one and I already was like, Edward's a douche. And then I started the next one. I'm not gonna acknowledge I did, but I started the next one and I was like, oh, Jacob's so sweet.
Yes.
And nice and kind. You go on because I wanna talk about Bella's douchebaggery.
Okay. Bella in the movie, I think, is just as woe is me princess as she is in the book.
But
she's very...
How much... So I don't like Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
How much do you think she had to actually act for that part? Like, I just feel like that's who she is. Given I've only seen that film once, and I've seen her in maybe two other films.
I think she acts like that. She's very reserved.
And she has no facial expressions.
No.
Back to Bella.
Okay.
What did... Was this like a... Is she going through puberty? Like, I just wanted to smack her 90% of the book. I couldn't tell you why I wanted to smack her.
She is a very helpless character. And she never seems... She's one of those characters. She never really evolves through the books. Except maybe the last book.
Well,
I know we're getting ahead of ourselves.
But okay, so you said she doesn't evolve.
No.
So my problem with that, and we were talking about this morning, it's been really hard not to talk about it because I wanted to save everything for now. So my problem with this, and it's you kept a very straight face, so I know you need to not look at me now, and you can look the other way, is that my problem is that all of this is going on around her, and this is in the first and the second book, and they both are like, you're such a special person, and you're beautiful and amazing, and, like, you've got these amazing qualities. And I'm like, there has got to be something about you. You cannot be this person, this, like, focal point of these stories, and just be this average, more than beautiful person, but then hate yourself so much. And I just know I'm going to finish that fourth book and be like, you are a horrible little person, and I don't like you, and I have problems. I will say here that I do know what happens to her and Robert. His name's not Robert.
Edward.
The character's Robert. He was much cuter in Harry Potter. But what happens to Edward and Bella, and I know about the baby and that sort of thing, but it's still, it's just like, if her character doesn't evolve, or if Stephanie Meyer doesn't have some sort of big to-do in these four books that have been out for, when was the last one released? Well, the last movie came out in 2012, so the last book was well before that. I'm going to be not happy. I'm not going to be very happy. And Allie has kept a straight face through this part. I'm going to just be grumpy, regardless of how I do it. So, okay, so we talked about Edward. No, so back to Bella. Do you have issues? Like, I think my biggest issue is that she never took responsibility for anything or didn't feel like she was taking responsibility. So she was always, woe is me. She was very helpless. I don't know. Did you feel that when her and Edward actually got together and they started dating, did you feel like she started to take responsibility? So I'm sort of thinking, like, when he was like, ooh, you smell yummy. Also, he's creepy. But when he's like, ooh, you smell so yummy, and don't try and kiss me so much. Like, did you feel like she was taking responsibility? Or were you just kind of like, oh, once more, woe is me?
I don't think she knows. She thinks that Edward is Prince Charming, even though she knows he's a vampire and that he's not going to hurt her, even if she's a little slut and tries to kiss him, even when he tells her not to.
Now, so this is one of the reasons I didn't read them. Could you feel the Mormonism coming through?
No. Even when I read it as an older adult.
Yeah. Well, I think it's what I'm thinking, and this is from what I'm remembering, is that I think it's across the entire series, the abstinence, and they're right on the edge. And, like, you've read some dirty novels, and I've read some dirty novels. It's very, very chaste. Like,
it's not bang bang into the room.
Yeah, and I think they kiss like maybe 4 times in the entire novel.
Yes.
And when she like even remotely shows passion or mentions like, will you stay the night? Or doesn't she explicitly ask at one point? It might be in the second book, I don't know. But she's like, I know my kiss is driving you crazy, or my scent, but what about my body? And he's like, well, I am a man after all. I'm just, like, that just, it's, like, so bad. It's such bad writing. How did you feel about, we're just kind of, like, flying through this, and I'm jumping around, and that's just how this podcast goes. How did you feel about Stephanie Meyer's writing?
I know, when I reread this, I guess when I was younger, I just wanted to read it because everybody else was reading it, but now it is slower. There's a lot of scenes in there that could have been taken out.
Yeah.
Because it just adds more fluff to the story. Like, all of her friends,
yeah,
their parts in there, I know they're more condensed in the movie, and I think that was good, because in the book, you're like, I don't give a shit about what Angela and her other friend are doing, and then I know they condense them into one person in the movie.
Oh, maybe that's why I remember
Jessica
so
and someone else. I can't remember the other girl's name.
Julie. Everyone is a bitch. I don't like her. One of the biggest problems that I had with this book is it wasn't even, like, the writing, it was very simple. It was great. It was for teens. It made sense. Like, it shouldn't be convoluted. But I guess for me, her vocabulary was not very broad. And when she did try and use a synonym, it just stuck out like a sore thumb. And I feel like you were the one who told me, get ready for when you're reading, every other word is glittery and marble and cold.
Yes.
And I really felt that every time it was his cold hand, his icy marble hand, his cold icy marble hand, his glittery cold icy marble hand. Like, it was just adjective after adjective put onto it. Does it get better throughout the novels? Or do you vaguely remember if you feel like it got better?
Well, after the second one, there's a lot more plot going on. I think in this book, there's not a whole lot of plot in the first 3/4 of the book.
Yes!
It's just them sitting beside each other in biology, sniffing each other. Whereas in the second...
Which is creepy.
Yes. And then the second and third and fourth book, there's actual protagonist and antagonism going on. Well, at the end of this book, James and
James, Laurent, and Victoria.
Yeah, they're all after them. But the first, what, over half of the book, they're just kind of
now. See, that's
poking
okay, so
along.
I'm glad you said that, because that is probably the biggest problem I had with this. The fact that up until like page, I don't know, 400 out of 500, it was all just slowly building up. And it was so stagnant and so quiet. Like, it honestly felt like me, it was the first third of one book. And I've just finished, or I'm about 75% of the way through New Moon, and it felt like the exact same thing. So you got this long reveal of both, you know, in this one it's the vampire, and that one it's the wolf, werewolf. Then, in the second one, it's like, oh, here's that person who didn't die in the first one, and she's back.
Yeah, just randomly.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, so what's been the point of this last, I don't know, 800 pages I've read? Like, I'm starting to agree with you that I feel like I want to take a pen to this, cut out 90% of it, and just write like a one book of the 4 series. But I guess, I don't know. I'm torn, because if there weren't that much in here, we wouldn't know how creepy Edward is. Now, what was your response? And this is the thing, this is for both books, since I'm that far ahead, we can talk about it. What did you think her reaction was, and was it appropriate when she found out that Edward was a vampire and his family were vampires and Jacob was a werewolf?
Bella is special. She just accepted it very plainly, I guess because she liked him so much, or she knew he was different.
Yeah.
And to me, she wasn't scared even when he said, when he showed her, you know, that he could kill her very easily, and yeah. He showed her his glittery, marble, cold, pale skin.
I was sick of, like, I'm all for some description of body, but his marble chest.
Yes.
Glittered in the sun. No, thank you.
She was a little underwhelmed about it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good description, that she didn't really seem to care.
A nonplussed. Like,
yes.
Completely nonplussed. And I guess that's sort of what got me. Like, she was more freaked out that Jacob was a werewolf. Than he was a vampire.
Yes.
And I know there were different circumstances, because, like, people weren't disappearing in the first book and they were disappearing in the second one. But it's just kind of like, I feel like you would flip your shit either way. Like, to find out, I know personally I would. But that brings me to what we were talking about this morning, is the time of the novel. So you thought it was contemporary, like 2000, 2004.
Yeah, when the book came out.
When the book came out. I thought it was a little bit earlier. So, like, late 80s, early 90s. Now, what made you think it was in the contemporary? Just because it was the movie and that
I guess because of the movie, too.
Yeah. And I think the reason, and this is the same thing I wonder, like, about time travel, is, like, would people that could time travel come to ages where we have cell phones everywhere? Like, where we have pictures, Facebook, face recognition stuff, or would they just go to pre-times? You know, like, what I mean? So, like, the vampires, it's kind of like, and maybe they discussed this in the last book. I don't know, but I highly doubt it, because I don't think she's that smart. I hope you're listening, Stephanie Meyer.
Damn you.
As technology improves, are Carlisle and them going to have even more difficulties staying alive longer or staying in the public longer because of the phones and stuff? And I think that's why I thought it was a little bit earlier, because the only people who have cell phones are the Cullens, and no one else mentions them. And then they talk about, you know, Edward kind of gives his age, and there's a he was supposed to die in 1916 or 1918 or something, whenever the Spanish influenza was. But then he's like, and I've been this for 80 years. That would put it in 19... I guess that is almost 2000. But well, I guess that's about when cell phones were just getting big, you know.
Also in a super small town.
True.
And I guess because maybe people ignore things.
Yeah.
In smaller towns, especially when he was like the only doctor there.
Yeah.
But when you have four kids living with you, and they're all creepy looking, and they're beautiful, that's a little hard for someone to ignore.
Yeah. Now, but let's go back to the creepy. How would you feel if a guy you were dating confessed that he'd stood outside your house staring at you while you were sleeping?
Depends how much money he made.
Okay. What if he was a vampire and you find that out?
I don't know. I guess she... To me... Someone cannot blindly be so interested in something. You can just dismiss all of their faults.
Yeah.
Except that they have come into your bedroom and watched you sleep for, like, the last 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. It's just weird. Like, I guess that's my biggest problem is, and maybe that's, like what Stephanie Meyer hints at. She hints constantly that Bella has some sort of mental problems. Are they mental disorder, mental challenges? Like... depression. Like, she definitely mentions depression at one point. But, like, it sounds like Bella has a bunch of other issues. I think Lee just put her headphones on.
Just want to listen to us talk about Twilight.
She just read Hunger Games.
Oh.
So, but, yeah, so I'm, and that's, I guess that's why I'm more of, like, she has no reactions except when she goes so far so deep into despair, and then she's like, don't leave me, don't leave me.
Oh, in the second book, you know, I've been there, we've all had bad breakups and stuff, but she's a teenager, so I think she over-exaggerates some of her emotions. But I know when she was in the hospital at the end of the first book, I was just rereading that while you were trying to finagle your...
My technical difficulties.
Your technical difficulties, and she goes... Don't leave me. You know, my life is nothing without you. You're 17.
Yeah.
You met him
Less than a year.
Two months ago or whatever it was.
Well, I think it was the school year. Oh, no. Hell no, because it started in January. Mm-hmm. She didn't meet him until January, and that was spring break.
Yeah.
So maybe 4 months at most.
Yeah. So is she just too soon, too deep? And I don't know, maybe that's part of the being the vampire and he sucked her in.
Yeah, but that's, okay, so this is me reading into it because mm-hmm. of my issues with Mormonism and Stephenie Meyer. Do you think part of that is like one love, true love, no sex before marriage?
Well, you know, she really does like Jacob.
Yeah.
And in the second book, and I know we're not supposed to talk about the second book that much because you haven't finished, but
you can acknowledge because she like mm-hmm. I've just passed the point. It's just before she goes to Italy to try to rescue Edward, mm-hmm. and she's basically said, mm-hmm. "I'm gonna love him as much as I can with this yes. missing piece of me. So I'm gonna love him with the rest
yes.
of me." So I do get that.
But to me, she would die for Edward. She would eat peeps for Edward. You know. A lot more stuff than she would do with Jacob.
Did you just say eat peeps?
Yeah. Marshmallow peeps.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Not people. I won't tell you what happens when she's pregnant.
I don't know.
Because there's something that goes on between her and Jacob while she's pregnant.
See, I'm like, that's the shit I'm waiting for. I'm like, it's going to end. I don't remember who I was talking to about these books, but someone was like, and then the one book is just full of sex. And I was like, well, that's why they can't wait, because they're clearly going to do it before they get married, and I don't think they do. I haven't figured that one out
no.
yet. So it's like, I know these little bits and pieces, and it's just like, oh, what? How did you feel? So you watch, like, you don't watch Vampire Diaries, do you?
Actually, I just started watching it.
Okay. What other, like, vampire things do you watch? Have you read other vampire fiction?
Well, you know I was a big Buffy fan.
You were? I knew Buffy. Anything else? Okay, pause. Speaking of Buffy, so I never watched the TV series religiously. I watched it every now and then. You knew that. Don't make that face. But I actually really liked the really bad, really cheesy movie mm-hmm. that they did. Mm-hmm. Did you like that? Like, as a standalone,
yeah.
not as anything else. Mm-hmm. Because, like, everybody that likes Buffy, like the Joss Whedon Buffy, mm-hmm. hates that movie. I was like, I mean, it was a cheesy 80s movie. There's nothing
yeah.
wrong with it. That train is ridiculous.
They don't usually don't honk.
Huh. How did you feel, like, with this whole new... And I guess this goes back to Bella, like, when she's researching mm-hmm. the vampires. How do you feel about Stephenie Meyer's vampires?
It's completely different than what you... Like, what we think of as vampires, obviously.
What anyone's ever thought
yes.
of as vampires.
I know you didn't watch Buffy, but Angel on Buffy, he had a soul because he got cursed by gypsies.
Okay.
And he still couldn't go out in sunlight. He would die if he went out in the sunlight. He was nice-ish most of the time.
I mean, he got his own spinoff.
Yes. Probably because he was good-looking.
I think he looks better as he's older.
But these vampires are glittery, sparkly.
Yeah, well, I guess that was... I was trying to figure out where the hell that came from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I liked the idea, and I don't... She's definitely not the first one, but I liked the idea that they didn't hunt humans.
Yes.
Like, that was interesting.
I recently started watching Vampire Diaries, and one of the guys on there does not hunt humans, and they can both go out in the light, but they have special rings or something where they can go out in the light, but they don't sparkle.
Yeah.
And they're not pale.
Yeah, and I think that, like, I guess the pale is a trope, so that's been around mm-hmm. for a while, but I think the sparkle was the biggest.
I think that was the most interesting thing about Twilight is that they had the glitter thing going on when they walked out in the sunlight. I guess it was still kind of the thing where they were made by another vampire
okay.
to develop more of their race. It wasn't okay. just people are feeding off of each other and breeding the vampires or whatever. It was more like a purpose kind of thing.
Okay.
Or at least what Carlisle did. I don't know about the other vampires.
Yeah, well, and that's interesting because I got to Italy and I know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But they all glitter. They're all glittery.
Yes.
And that's what it doesn't sound like it, but I keep hoping, like, they're going to explain why. Like, it
they
just
don't.
Seems weird. Okay. I sort of assumed they didn't mm-hmm. at this point, because I figured Edward would have told her, and maybe they explain it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in that unfinished, from Edward's version
oh,
of the
yeah.
first book. Allie, I'm very happy to know that after she made me read the first one, I immediately downloaded the next three, and the novella between 3 and 4.
I would like to point out that I told Jeffrey, once he started reading the first one, he would not be able to put it down because he would get sucked into it.
And it was. It's like I was explaining to Heather, a blogger friend. My sister's staring at us. We're crazy. I was talking to Heather. We were talking in the comments, and it's like a car crash, and you can't look away, and you're just kind of like, well, shit, now I have to know what happens. And it's like, I texted you and I didn't appreciate it because your phone died, so you didn't get the greatness of these texts. When Bella first flirted with Jacob to get the information about Edward, I texted you, oh my god, she's a harlot, how could she do that to him? And then I didn't hear anything back, and I got up the next morning and was reading the book at 7 o'clock on the way to work. And I was like, the 14-year-old girl in me, idiot girl in me, hates you for making me read this. But at the same time, I enjoyed them. The stories, it wasn't even like that original of a story, that great of a story. But it's like, there's something in them. So like, maybe it's the characters, maybe it's her, how easy the writing is. And like, that's what I can't figure out. Like, what about it is making people and making us read them?
That's how I felt about 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
I was reading that, and at the end of it, I don't know if you know what happens at the end of the first book. So there's a huge cliffhanger at the end of the first book of 50 Shades of Grey. And you're like, really? Am I really going to spend money on this shit and buy another?
But you want to know.
But I want to know what the hell happens to Anastasia Steele and Christian Grey.
Yeah.
And that's how you feel about Twilight.
Yeah.
You have to know what happens to freaking Bella and Edward and Jacob.
Because you're like, I hope you die.
Yeah.
Even though I know she doesn't.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the non-immortal, non-Bella characters. Who did you like? The two that stood out for me were definitely the older characters. So, like, Charlie, her dad, and Billy, Jacob's dad.
I really liked Alice.
Well, she's immortal.
We'll talk
about them next.
Okay, sorry. Oh, you said the non-immortal.
Yeah.
Immortal.
Like,
okay.
I mean, you already said, like, the friends were kind of pointless to add in there. Did you feel like Charlie or her mom or Billy or what's the wolf? We're kind of talking about both books now, but what's Sam's girlfriend, wife? Do you remember her name?
No.
The wolf girl?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Like, do you feel like they even add anything, or are they just sort of, like, background
material? No, because, I mean, towards the last book, some of them do.
Okay.
They develop more characterization. I really think some of the non-mortal characters weren't really adding anything to the story. Of course, Charlie, her dad, has to, but I think he's just there to be a parent figure, but he doesn't really make her do anything.
Who
the hell tells her parents, I'm leaving, I'm going to Phoenix, because I don't like it here anymore?
In one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. But also at the same time, I kind of think like Charlie acts as her conscience in book two, where she's like, well, what about Charlie? Mm-hmm. And then she starts to feel alive again. And she actually does. That's the one times where I actually feel like she's doing something non-selfishly or non-self-involved, is when she's thinking about Charlie or her mom. But even then, it's kind of like that fine line of, it's more just because they might miss her.
She has a really weird relationship with her mom.
Yeah.
It was kind of annoying in the first book. And I think towards the last two books, they don't even hardly mention her parents at all, other than when they had the wedding.
Okay.
But Billy Jacobs, is that Jacob's dad?
I think it's his dad.
He's all right. He doesn't really get very much characterization through the whole series.
I know. And I think that's, as I'm reading this one, all I really want to know are, what are the other legends?
Yes.
Like, do they tell any more information? I just feel like that would be fascinating.
And they don't develop on that very much through the series.
Like, she's missing an opportunity, kind of like how, and maybe they're out there and we just don't know.
Because she could have written books from the werewolf community thing.
Yeah, and it's sort of like how Rowling did Beetle the Bard and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Like, she could have done the Legends of the Kinoet People, or I don't know how to say that word, but it starts with a Q. So, no, I agree. So what, okay, so now for the immortal characters, apart from Edward and Jacob, because we're clearly divided on that right now. I think Alice is brilliant. I loved Alice.
Yes, she gets a lot more interesting in the last couple books. I know we're just talking about the first one, but
I know, I can't wait to call and talk about her.
I didn't like Rosalie.
I didn't either,
in the first
but are
book.
We not supposed to like her?
In later on in the books, you find out why she is the way she is.
So we'll leave that there because I don't want any spoilers. We both know I'm going to finish these next two books in the car ride tomorrow.
Yes. Emmett and Jasper. Jasper gets a little...
I kind of like Jasper. Like, we don't see a lot of him.
He gets a little bit more character development in more other books, but I don't think that Emmett ever does.
Okay.
So you kind of don't learn anything about him.
No, just yes or no. That's all I want to know. Do we find out anything more about the Italian vampires?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm starting to sort of guess and see where this is going.
Mm-hmm. But, they're very predictable.
Yeah, and they are. And that's sort of like, okay, well now, and I'm like...
But you know what? And sometimes I like books like that because I hate books where they just totally flip the script and they do the opposite of what should be done in books.
Yeah.
And then you get even more mad.
Yeah. I hate unreliable narrators. And Bella is the most predictable narrator I've ever read a book from. But I'm starting to see, like, the overall arch. Like, I've got a good idea of where it's going. And because I know what happens, like, I know that Edward and Bella end up together, I'm sort of like, well, it's kind of useless for me to be Team Jacob, but I'm totally there anyway. Because you're like, oh, well, there's some stuff that might happen. Don't say anything. But I'm starting to now wonder, like, because Victoria randomly came back, and, you know, clearly they're going to have to do something because bitch is crazy. And they're now, Edward's pissing off the... whatever the Italians are called.
The Volturi.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, but it's also kind of like, well, am I going to commit to it? And at this point I am, because I've already got the books. Mm-hmm. And they're so fast. Now, what about from these first two novels, I almost feel like she did progress a little better as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
In the second novel, I felt as if she used a broader vocabulary. Her descriptions were less basic, and she didn't just tack adjectives on. Did you notice? Do you remember noticing that, or has it been too long?
I feel the last couple of books that she did, they were more active. It wasn't just people talking to each other. They were, you know...
So it was less setup, more action. Okay. Now, do you feel like I feel that these first two books are just, like, introductions to, like, an action book? Like, yeah, like what you're saying.
Yeah, because isn't this the first book she wrote?
I don't know, but I think so.
Yeah. I think definitely writing-wise better, maybe not plot-wise better, because I think in the last book, that she has too much stuff going on.
Okay. So, like, rather than writing a fifth book, she tried to cram it all in.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
I won't talk about my hate of Susan Collins in the last Hunger Games book, where she just, like, gave up and just wrote freaking...
But, no, I don't... No, and I think it's legit you bring that up, because it is. It's like, how do you end a series? Like, J.K. Rowling ended a series, great. Mm-hmm. She did tack on that extra two couple of pages. Mm-hmm. I personally liked it. A lot of people didn't. But... I think Collins went for the more philosophical, which was great for adults, but for kids, I'm like, kids are going to hate this ending.
She just kind of, and I think Stephanie Meyer, she did a good job of ending the book and saying where people ended up, and she didn't leave a whole lot of cliffhangers that I remember, because it's been a while since I read the last book, but in Hunger Games, she just kind of didn't resolve anything, and, you know, Gale just... didn't even show up ever again. She married PETA, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
It's a big middle finger.
Yeah.
It's a big middle finger.
You should see the look on her face.
I wrote a scathing Goodreads review at 2 o'clock in the morning after I finished the last Hunger Games.
You're one of those people. Goodreads, it's my favorite thing on the planet. What last thoughts on this before we jump into the question and answer? So what did you think... is there anything in the book you want to talk about that we haven't talked about?
I think, you know, it was funny that you mentioned earlier that there must be something special about Bella because of all this stuff is happening to her. I think it's very interesting that, and I know clumsy people exist. I'm clumsy sometimes.
I'm clumsy too.
But she just seems above and beyond the normal clumsiness of a human.
And that's why it makes me think there's something about her.
Like how she says she won't dance or play, even try to play volleyball because she hits people.
Yeah, and then she hits herself and her partner with the tennis ball or badminton racket.
Or why can't she get a tan in Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah. Well, it's like I'm convinced she's like descended from vampires or something. I know that's not the case, but there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
I think her characterization, she's just there and you're not supposed to like her. She just moves the story along.
So do you think... So she's kind of like... Do you see her? Because I'm starting to see... Like, just with what you just said, she just sort of moved the story along. Do you feel like she actually participates in the story? Like, in the entire first book, I'm like, no.
No.
She just sits there. In the second book, I mean, when she jumps off the cliff, mm-hmm. or, yeah, like, jumps, like, dives off, like, she's having fun. It's kind of like, okay, so she's kind
she never does anything to help herself.
Yeah. And I'm like, no.
And this is why people don't like Kristen Stewart, because it characterized her with
perfectly.
Bella.
Yeah. Yes. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's my problem. But I guess, but that also, do you think that's good for teen girls to be reading this? To be the helpless, come rescue me, save me. And I know they're not all idiots. I mean, I'd
say... No, they need to read Buffy.
Yeah. Buffy's books. Oh, no, it's comic books.
They have comic books.
All right, so we're to that point where I have my guests read a portion. So far, everyone has sounded like they deserve to be on a audiobook, and I think you'll be great because you're going to automatically sound better than me. I think I chose this one specifically. It's not sex. It's not even leading up to sex. I think for some reason, and it's so early in the book, it's page 74 of 500, because at that point, I was so frustrated with Bella. I was like, what is wrong with you? Can you please sort out your life? And it just went downhill from there. So that's what you get to read to me. So have at it okay. When you're ready.
All right. I tried very hard not to be aware of him for the rest of the hour. And since that was impossible, at least not to let him know that I was aware of him. When the bell rang at last, I turned my back to him to gather my things, expecting him to leave immediately as usual. Bella? His voice shouldn't have been so familiar to me as if I'd known the sound of it all my life, rather than for just a few short weeks. I turned slowly, unwillingly. I didn't want to feel what I knew I would feel when I looked at his too perfect face. My expression was wary when I finally turned to him. His expression was unreadable. He didn't say anything. What? Are you speaking to me again? I finally asked, an unintentional note of petulance in my voice. His lips twitched, fighting a smile. No, not really, he admitted. I closed my eyes and inhaled slowly through my nose, aware that I was gritting my teeth. He waited. Then what do you want, Edward? I asked, keeping my eyes closed. It was easier to talk to him coherently that way. I'm sorry, he sounded sincere. I'm being very rude, I know, but it's better this way, really. I opened my eyes. His face was very serious. I don't know what you mean, I said, my voice guarded. It's better if we're not friends, he explained. Trust me.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Oh my God. So,
does that not tell you everything that is wrong
with this
book? This
is a really good page of this book because he tells her at least
so
two or three
times. No. Two or three times a chapter.
To stay away from him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be friends. But I will say that she does ignore him, and then he'll keep coming to her and talking to her.
So they're both masochists.
Yes.
Or sadists. I don't know.
And she says that with the lamb. The lamb quote.
Yeah, she makes the comment, I'll always be your lamb or something. You're looking at, so this is the one I had problems with.
Mm-hmm.
About three things, I was absolutely positive.
Mm-hmm.
First, Edward was a vampire. Second, there was a part of him, and I didn't know how dominant that part might be, that thirsted for my blood. And third, I was unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him.
Well, no, the lamb thing is, how could a lion love a lamb? What a stupid lamb. What a masochistic client or something like that. They both just...
This is all that's wrong with this book.
Yes.
I am sorry.
But you can't stop reading it.
But you can't. And no. Now, that's the one thing I'm going to spend the next probably 6 months trying to figure out. Because it's definitely not her writing. And the story's not even that great or that original. We've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, what is it that is driving us to read this book?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm going to find out. Okay. So now we are going to go to my standard questions. Some I know the answers to just because I've known you for so long. But I want to share that with friends and my lovely podcast listeners because you all are great for listening to these. Will you get off Facebook? Close your phone. She's like a 4-year-old. All right. So my very first standard question is, do you own a library card?
I do.
And which library is it for?
It is for my local library, Portsmouth, Virginia. Which actually has a semi-decent library, but it's still not as good as library in Fayetteville.
We're going to talk about that next because I'm so excited. I'm recording this with someone who grew up with me because we had a great library.
Yes.
But now you use the library a lot. Like, you use it a lot more than I feel like a lot of people do. How often do you go?
Well, before I had internet, I used to go there to do my homework.
Okay.
Because they have really nice tables along the back wall, and it looks out over this little pond. They have free Wi-Fi. But I used to go there at least once a week.
That's it. But even then, you check a lot of your books out.
Yeah.
You don't buy too many, so that's great. Ally supports her public library. Yes. You heard it here. So when she runs for office, she can be like, I've always done this.
Yes.
So this goes to Fayetteville, but I guess Fayetteville might not have been your first. When did you get your first library card?
Fayetteville.
Was it Fayetteville? Did Stedman have a library? I know they had a library, but did you not get one when you lived out there?
No, we moved to Fayetteville when I was like 7.
I know, but we got our first library cards when we were like 4. But anyway,
I don't remember. No, that's a dumb question.
It is. No, it's a great question because it's the first library card.
Okay.
So let's talk about Fayetteville's library. So we grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Fedville, if you're from there. I am from there, but I've never said it that way. And it actually had a really, really good library system.
Yes, it was 3 floors.
Yeah, so this just the headquarters library.
Yes.
And I think the population at the time was like 350,000. Got a lot bigger when they incorporated Fort Bragg. But the library itself was great. So there was the downtown library, which you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And we actually used to ride our bikes there when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
And there used to be strip clubs
down
the street for where we had a ride.
They had typewriters.
My sister they had typewriters.
And they had their own room for North Carolina history.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yes. Because we always had to do projects in North Carolina.
Yeah, 4th and 8th grade?
Yes. And it was a really good library. I think they had a lot of programs there.
They did. I remember they did a lot of programs. But what I remember being so great is they had so many books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were 2 floors that were just solid full of books.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really remember what was in the basement, but there's definitely something down in the basement.
Yes.
It was like, if you wanted a book, you could find it.
Pre-internet, so you had to go to the library to do
Internet
reports.
Research, yeah. Well, and even then, I remember they had computers, because I remember we would go down and use the computers
and
hang out in the chat rooms, I guess. And I think I looked that up, and I think the reason they have such a great system, so there's the main library, it's the Cumberland County Library System, so it's all the libraries together, but like in Fayetteville, there were like 5 or 6 branches, and they were all really well stocked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Boston has a lot, but like even Boston doesn't have as many. I don't feel like its actual libraries as well stocked. I feel like they pull more out of storage.
It surprises me because Fayetteville's kind of poor.
Yeah,
and they have such a good library.
But that's what I was going to say. I think the reason, I know why, it's because it doesn't depend on
the
city council or anything like that for tax dollars. Part of it's written into, it's not written, they do have a small portion which comes from the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked it up and another portion comes from somewhere else. It's not, it's like quasi-autonomous. Like a lot of their money comes from somewhere else. And I was like, why is not everyone else doing this? Because we were spoiled growing
up.
Yes. Sometimes I wish I could go back to that library. Because it would just, and they had comfy seats, and there was a lot of space to study. And like,
and all the homeless people would go and read the newspaper every day.
Yeah, although they didn't smell, which was really interesting. I don't remember them smelling. Maybe they did. So this is leading into the next question.
Mm-hmm.
I already know the answer. Do you own a digital reading device?
Yes.
You own a Kindle.
Yes.
You also own an iPad.
Yes.
Do you read, which you use the Kindle more often to read, right?
Yes. My iPad's kind of bulky to read.
Yeah, that's my problem too.
And the sole purpose I bought my Kindle for was to read at the beach.
And did you do that this summer?
Yes, I did.
No, for some reason I was like, I don't remember you going to the beach that much.
Yes, because I can't read my iPad at the beach.
Yeah, that glare.
Yes. So I got a Paperwhite Kindle and I love it.
The second question, does your local library do Kindle checkouts?
It does, and I can't figure out how to do it.
I will show you before I leave.
Okay.
They are great. I love it. That was why I waited until the Kindle did it, and then I bought a Kindle. The next question, do you listen to audiobooks?
No.
Now, is there a reason? Because, like, for me, I just read too fast, so it's kind of like, eh.
Well, I have listened to the CDs.
Okay.
And I've checked them out of the library if I was going on a long trip.
Okay. Yay, support your library.
Yes, but to me, they do read slow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I read faster than I listen.
Yeah.
So they cost more to rent them. I guess you can rent them off of Amazon, can't you?
Yeah, and your library also. We'll look, because you might be able to check them out digitally from your library. And I think it is. And like everyone has been telling me, it really depends on the narrator. But you should do, because you love Harry Potter as much as I do. Tattoo love. You should listen to the British Harry Potter ones if you can get a hold of them.
Oh, okay.
They're so good. And the American ones are good, too, because Jim Dale won Grammys for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so long. And what was the last book that you read?
The last book I read was Finding My Prince Charming by J.S. Cooper.
I really hope that's self-help.
It was a free Kindle download. It's not self-help.
Oh, damn it. I was hoping self-help. That would be great.
And I can't remember anything about it.
So was it a romance?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. I kind of like the free ones. I've got a couple where I'm like, will I ever read this? I don't know, but I'm going to download it anyway. Do you have a favorite book or genre?
I don't know why, but I love Judy Blume, Tiger Eyes.
What is it about? I have no idea what it is.
And I don't know why I like it, because it's not even that good of a story.
Okay.
It's
2 minutes, quick story over.
Okay. And they just came out with a Lifetime movie. Don't watch it. It's horrible.
But I love Lifetime.
As a teenager, reading Judy Blume about getting your period, having sex, it just, you're like, my mom didn't tell me anything about this. Thank you, Judy Blume. And you just, I don't know, you relate so much better to Judy Blume than your parents.
I had no, like, I vaguely knew that she wrote about this stuff, but
yes.
I had no idea. So what's Tiger Eyes?
Tiger Eyes is about this teenage girl. Her dad gets murdered. Her mom kind of has a nervous breakdown, and they move to go live with her mom's sister. And she meets this guy, and they start hiking together. And they don't even have sex or anything, but it's just, like, such a coming-of-age story.
So it's, like, how to be friends with the opposite sex.
Kind of.
Maybe.
I think they do kiss at the end of the book.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler alert.
That's all right. It's all spoilers on this podcast.
But I don't know, I really like the book, and I read it every couple of years.
Fair enough. So are there any other favorite books? You mentioned a couple.
Yes. I like Patricia Cornwell's series about Kay Scarpetta, the medical examiner.
Okay.
I can't remember what state she lives in, because I haven't read them in a while.
Okay.
She changed her narration view, and so I stopped reading her because they started sucking.
Ah.
I think she has at least 20 books about this character.
But do you like series like that?
Yes. There's another series I like. It's about a psychologist.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember his name. It's Alex something. And I like his books too.
Now, and fun fact, Allie actually gave me the book that is probably my favorite childhood book. I don't know why it's my favorite. It's a horrible book. Why would any teenager like this book? Why would anybody read this book? The Only Alien on the Planet.
I like that book too.
Yeah, and it was about child abuse.
And
I guess it was like
weird at the end.
Yeah, and it's very strange. I'm going to reread it again.
Yeah.
The very last question that I have for you is, if you could make me read any one book, what would that be? And I mean, you kind of already won the pot
because
you made me read Twilight. But, like, what's next?
I did win. I don't know, because this was, like, my biggest battle.
It was. And it's funny
because...
And I
won. And you're reading the other ones voluntarily.
It's an involuntary, like, compulsion. But it's funny because Patrick, on the last episode, when I asked him, I was like, here's a list of books. He was like, well, I want to do Twilight. And I was like, sorry. I've already reserved someone for that. I mean, and I think the reason you really did is because I was so viscerally against this. And I mean, I'm still not, oh my God, this is the best thing ever, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. There's this compulsion once
you
start.
And that's why she's a millionaire now.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that I have a compulsion to finish everything that I read.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a compulsion of, oh my God, where are these horrible characters going to end up?
Mm-hmm.
You
can die. I can die happy
now. You can die
happy
now?
Yes.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, it's funny. You actually offer a lot more TV shows that I should watch.
Yes.
And I don't watch that much TV, so I very rarely add stuff. But you do watch Bob's Burgers, which makes me happy.
Yes.
We are both Tina Belcher for Halloween.
Yes.
I'll include that picture along with a picture of our tattoo. But yeah, so you'll have to think about that.
I will.
You got me to read this, and it clearly was decent enough that I'm reading the rest of them over the next couple of days.
Because I know you have lots of books that you want me to read.
Yeah.
I still have my Game of Thrones set that I bought 2 years ago that I have not cracked open.
But that's hard. Like, they are long.
Yeah.
And I do not blame you one bit. So we're going to wrap up. Don't forget to check me out on Twitter at Jeff_Whaley and check out my blog, Oddness of Moving Things. It's jeffwhaley.com. I would tell you to follow Allie on Twitter or Instagram.
I'm not on there.
She's on both of them, but she doesn't.
Sporadically.
Very sporadically. We had a blog for a little while, and I think I'm going to try again next year to write some more. Getting to 30 was more important to just live and have fun. So don't check that one out either. It's Now Entering Adulthood, which is a great title, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. As a special thank you for sticking around to the very end of the podcast, I've included a bonus that I had was going to cut out, but I decided not to cut out. I ended up cutting a lot of the excess out of this podcast because Allie and I had a lot of fun and were snickering and laughing at each other and had really long, awkward pauses that turned into giggles. So I hope you enjoyed these next 30 seconds.
The book I read after that was... Can you come back to that question?
No, are you like, you can look it
I'm
up.
Looking
we can
it
pause
up.
For a second.
I don't remember the name of the book.
No, this is good because this is just space that I can edit out. I'm definitely going to have to use my regular computer to edit it so that I can make this even bigger. I'm just testing. That was Allie making that noise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I'm ready.
All right, so take a breath.